Welcome to the Community Christian Church Montgomery podcast. We are in the fourth and final week of our series, The Power of One. This last message is a unifying call to be the family we already are. It is a call to care about the mission we've been given and to give ourselves fully to it. It's about leaving a legacy that will live on after us. Here is our community pastor, Mitchell Shiver.
Well, good morning, community. How are we? I am so glad that you're here. I wanted to kick off this morning with a little quiz. On the screen, you're going to see three companies, and I think we all recognize those companies, Disney, Amazon, and Apple. And I want us to do a little quiz, and it's a participatory quiz. First service, I kind of had to pull a little bit out of them, but I know you guys have already had your coffee, and you're raring to go. Of these three companies, what is the one main thing, and just shout out an answer, one main thing, hopefully this will work, that all these companies have in common as you look at them? Anybody got one? What's the one thing? Money. Well, besides billions of dollars, anything else that you would say, the one success? Okay, great. A couple of great answers. And you know what? The one main thing that they all have in common, besides each of them being worth billions of dollars, did you know this? That each of them was actually started in a home. That's right. Walt Disney started what became the world's, you know, biggest media conglomerate, started it in a home of his uncle Robert. And Jeff Bezos started the world's largest online retailer, and I would venture to say most of us in this room perhaps have used Amazon at some point. He started Amazon in his Bellevue, Washington home. Pretty cool, huh? And then, Apple, which all of us, you know, we are a part of Apple, unless you have an Android, and you just, you know, you're not as cool. Sorry. But did you know that Steve Jobs started Apple in this, you know, rather unassuming California ranch home? See, I love these, you know, these are very intriguing kind of little known statistics or facts, rather, about large companies. I mean, the companies that we, associate with as being just giant and worth billions, you know, to think that they started in a small, humble place is so intriguing. You know, it's intriguing, but I set it up to say what I'm even more intrigued by and even passionate about is the fact that the church, the Christ followers that make up the church, started in a humble and unassuming place. Did you know that the church started 2,000 years ago in a home? A rather unassuming place that the church started. I mean, the church that became, you know, over 2.2 billion people that are a part of the church started in homes about 2,000 years ago. The church that you know, became the greatest catalyst for education in the world started in an unassuming place. The church, though it's made up of people, became the best catalyst for care and compassion that this world has known, started in a home. In fact, Acts chapter 2 tells us all about it. If you have a Bible or a Bible app on your phone, it'll also be on the screen. Acts chapter 2 tells us about the start of the church. It says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. You see, the church also had its humble beginnings in a home. And our church, Community Christian Church, 28 years ago, it had its humble beginnings in a home. 28 years ago, a small group of people gathered in a living room and dreamed about what God could do, dreamed about what it would look like to help thousands of people find their way back to God, dreamed about what it would be like to be a church that was not just a church that was content to stay where we are, but a church that became an impact church, a church that became a reproducing church. I mean, they dreamed of what that would look like 28 years ago, and here we are. 28 years later, as a part of that dream. And you know what? God has given us a great mission to fulfill that dream, that mission here in Chicagoland, and even beyond that, all around the world. You know, a year ago today, we started the One Initiative, and we're at the halfway point. And the One Initiative is all about two goals. First, that we would make God number one. We would make God number one. And this is simply about what God is doing in us, inside of us, the change that God is producing in us and in our life. That's the first goal. The second goal is that we would be one on this mission. We would realize that we are collectively part of a mission that God has started 2,000 years ago and has called us to be a part of to this very day. And we are one on this mission. This is about what God is doing through us. So we have what God is doing in us as we make God number one, and we have what God is doing through us as we realize that we are one on this mission. Now, we're halfway through this One Initiative. It's kind of like halftime, okay? It's an opportunity for us to, you know, in halftime of a football game or basketball game, which is more appropriate this time of the year, it's a time for us to kind of check up and see how we're doing and encourage each other to push forward and even invite new players on the team to get in the game. On your chair, or the chair next to you, should be a card like this. I want you to take it. And Shannon invited you to just keep that in your hand. And I'm going to be talking through this. And I'm going to be, you know, holding this card in my hand as we move through this message. But this card, in just a few moments, every one of us will have an opportunity to respond to what God is doing. What God is doing across Chicagoland, what God is doing around the world, what God is doing in us and through us, and we'll have an opportunity to respond to that. You know, I think there's three types of people here in this room. Those of us here, we fit one of maybe three different categories. And the first was that some of us, and I love this, some of us are new to community. And we maybe in the last year were new to community, and we were still deciding whether or not we were going to be on mission. You know, we were still in that phase of making a decision whether or not we were going to call community our church home. And today you have an opportunity to make a commitment for the very first time. And it's an opportunity for you to step out in faith. And I believe very sincerely and wholeheartedly that that is an opportunity that will mark your spiritual journey. This could be a day in which you look back years from now and go, I made a decision to step out that day on March 19th, 2017, and it changed my life. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, that today could be that moment for you. There's others of us who maybe a year ago made a one commitment. And you know what? This year has been a challenge. We've had circumstances and situations arise that have caused great difficulty and stress, and it has been tough. And so today, if that's you, if you're in that boat, you made a one commitment a year ago, and it has been a tough sledding. Today is an opportunity for you to say, you know what? I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to finish the drill, as I've heard from sports. You know, I'm going to finish strong. It's an opportunity for you to say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God despite what's going on in my life, despite the difficulty, despite the challenges. I'm going to trust him anyway. I think there's a third group of us in the room that, you know, we, over the last year, we've seen an increase in faith and finances. We've seen God provide. We've seen God come through. We have been blessed in ways that we never could have imagined. And today is an opportunity for us to increase our commitment. Maybe we made a commitment a year ago, but we feel like God is calling us to a greater faith, a greater sacrifice. Not that sacrifice that we made a year ago wasn't a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. It was a great one. But maybe God has been working in our heart over the last 12 months, and we say, I'm ready to step out on faith and trust him in a way that I've never trusted him before. And I believe there are some of us in this room today that will make the most significant commitment we've ever made. And I think we know who we are. And so I think there's one or three groups of people in here. And, you know, over the last weeks in this Power of One series, we've been looking at the life of Abraham. In the Old Testament, we learn about Abraham's story. God comes to Abraham and he calls him out of what is familiar, out of what is comfortable, out of what is known, and he calls him into what is uncomfortable, what is unfamiliar, and what is unknown. And in the midst of that calling, God makes a promise to Abraham. His promise is that he would give him a son. And that son would bless the entire world, that God would, through Abraham's descendants, bless the entire world. Now, the crazy thing about this promise was that Abraham was old. I mean, he was like really old. Like really, really old. I think I got it across, right? And his wife, Sarah, is also really old. And it almost seemed ridiculous that when God comes to him and he makes this promise to he and Sarah that they will have a son, they literally laugh. It seems crazy. It's the kind of thing that we would look at and go, on paper, this does not make sense. You don't reproduce children when you're 100 years old, okay? You don't. And so it seemed quite unbelievable, but God comes to him and he makes this promise, and you know what? They trusted God in the midst of that. And that specific promise, God says in Genesis 15, look at the sky. He's talking to Abraham. Count the stars. Can you even do it? Count your descendants. You're going to have a big family, Abraham. Count the stars. Now, let me pause for a moment. There are about 1 billion trillion stars in the universe. Now, I don't even know how many zeros that is. Okay, just trust me that it's a lot. Somebody can write it down, you know, show it to me on your phone afterwards. But 1 billion trillion stars in the universe. That's how many children that God had promised to bless Abraham, and how many descendants that he had promised to bless Abraham with. Now, some of us in this room, when we hear the thought of being blessed with 1 billion trillion children, we start to sweat. I mean, we love kids, and we've maybe got a few of our own, but when we hear the thought of a billion trillion children, we immediately start thinking of how many more practices is that going to be, or how many more concerts am I going to have to schedule, and how much more will we have to spend on clothing, and not to mention that our 7-passenger minivan is now entirely too small, and I'm going to have to trade it in for a few thousand, 100,000 buses. Some of us are ready to just run out of here as fast as we can. But Abraham and Sarah didn't see it that way. They didn't see the promise of 1 billion trillion descendants as a burden. They saw it as a blessing. And they were excited about that. And so we fast forward to the New Testament, and their promise fulfilled starts with Isaac, the son that God gives to Abraham and Sarah. And so it's a slow and steady start. And then we fast forward to Hebrews. And Hebrews is sort of a checkpoint in the New Testament of how this promise is playing out. Look with me at Hebrews 11. It says, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead. Now, wouldn't you love that to be said about you? I told you he was old. Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. So from this one active adult couple comes a son. And from that son comes descendants as numerous as the stars and as countless as the sand. You say, oh, that's a great story. Inspiring even. But what does that have to do with me? What does it have to do with me sitting in this room in Montgomery, Illinois on March 19th, 2017? It has everything to do with us. Because let me tell you, here's the thing. We are that promise. We are that family. We are those heirs. We are those stars in the sky and those grains of sand on the seashore. You and I are part of the promise that God first gave to Abraham, and it carries down to this very day. We are part of that family that God created. And it's different from maybe our family as we know it. Our family, whether it's our parents or whatever, whoever we call family, it's different with God's family. We're not born into God's family like we're born into our family that we know. We can't earn our way into God's family. There's nothing we can do to say, okay, I'm just going to earn my way, and that makes me part of God's family. We can't buy our way into God's family. The way in which we become part of this family is by trusting in the person of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And when we trust in Jesus, we become part of that family. That Jesus is our entryway into God's family. We are the promise that God first made to Abraham. Now, we talked about Disney and Amazon and Apple, and just as those companies have values, God's family also has values. You know, just as Disney values storytelling and picture, God's family has values, just as Amazon values what they call customer obsession. God's family has values. And just as Apple values innovation, God's family has values. And the question for us today is, what does it mean to act out and live as part of God's family? And to really answer that question, we have to look at what are the values that God has called his family to and that make up a part of his family. You know, there's a guy, apostle named Paul, who found his way back to God. He started with Abraham and explains these family values in a letter he writes to Christians in an area called Galatia. He says this in Galatians 3, says, "So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham." So this was a big deal. "So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And so the first value that we see that's part of God's family is that we live by faith. Faith. Now this is a word that we're no doubt familiar with, even I would say if we're not a Christ follower. Faith. What is faith? Faith is having trust in what is unseen. Believing and trusting in God even when we don't see what's right in front of us. Meaning that we do what God calls us to do. We go where God calls us to go regardless of the circumstances. And that's the key word when it comes to faith. Regardless of the circumstances. Faith is most cultivated and most strengthened in the unseen. Let me say that again. Faith is most cultivated and strengthened in the unseen. And so we have an opportunity today as part of the one initiative, the goal being to make God number one in our lives. We have an opportunity today to demonstrate faith in a way that maybe for many of us, it's faith demonstrated in the unseen. We're stepping into the unknown. We're trusting God to come through on his promise no matter the circumstance. That's faith. And so faith, we live by faith, is the first value. The second value is that we are home to everyone. Our family is home to everyone. Paul goes on to say, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." You remember that home growing up? It may have been your home or maybe a friend's home or some other place. That place that when you stepped into it, you just felt like you were at home. And maybe it was the people that made up that place, but nevertheless, you stepped into that place and you felt at home. It just felt natural. You felt comfortable. You felt like you belonged. That home that makes that up for you is the exact way that God's family is to be. That God's family is to be home to everybody. There are not to be distinctions, there are not to be separations, there are not to be divides, that God's family is to be home to everyone. And as you entered into the place that felt like your home, when you enter into this place, you feel that you're home. God's family is to be home to everybody. Look at what Paul says in verse 26. If you're a highlighter, a note taker, I don't know, write it down. "You are all children of God through faith," Paul says. You are all children of God through faith. There is no footnote at the bottom. There is no sidebar in which Paul says, except you and you and you and you. You are all children of God through faith. Despite your background, despite your socioeconomic status, despite your gender, you are all children of God through faith. And you're part of the promise. And you know what? That's exactly the reason that we named this the One Initiative. We named this the One Initiative because it is a word picture of a reality that God has called all of us from different places and backgrounds and statuses and then the makeups. And he's called us into one place to be one family on one mission. That is what the church is. So we are part of that. And so we come together today from different places to say we're part of this family. That you might be here with family, but you've also come here to say, I'm part of this family. I'm part of this family that God has created and initiated with Abraham that carries down to this very day. Maybe you've never thought of it that way. Maybe you've never thought of yourself as being part of God's family. Maybe you've never thought of yourself as being God's son or God's daughter or God's child. But I want to encourage you that today you are part of God's family. Third value of this family is that we are a blessing. Our family is a blessing. Paul says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham that all nations will be blessed through you. Our family has been blessed to be a blessing. Our family has been blessed, and what God has done in us extends out to what God is doing through us. We want, as part of this family, to reach other people and say, come on in, you're part of the family too. You, come on in, different place, different backgrounds, you're part of the family too. That God has called us to be a blessing to other people. We are passionate in this family about reaching people who are far from God and helping them find their way back to Him. We are passionate about reaching out to the least and the lonely and reminding them that they are God's son and God's daughter. We are passionate about restoring God's dream for this world. And we are unapologetic about fulfilling this mission both locally and globally. We will not stop until we press into the ends of the earth that everyone would hear that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus has died for them, and that Jesus gives them new life. This is the mission of our family. These are our family values. These are our family values. So I want us to understand that the One Initiative is all about, it's all about an opportunity for us to live as the family of God. It's an opportunity for us to tangibly make God number one, to live as part of His family, to answer that question, what does it look like to live by faith? Not only to live by faith, to extend that out to be a blessing to other people. Every one of us has an opportunity today to make God number one. And you know what? I've been praying over these past weeks that our location, that our campus would do exactly that, that we would step out in generosity, that we would make commitments to make God number one in a way that surprises the people that are around us. And they say, you did what? You went to church and did what? I would love to hear those conversations, because that's a demonstration that we are serious about the mission. We will not stop until the mission is fulfilled. In just a moment, we're going to ask all of you to come forward to make a commitment together. This is an opportunity for us to demonstrate that God is number one. Even if you turned in a card last year and made a commitment when we started the One Initiative, we're going to ask that you turn in another card, just reaffirming that commitment or maybe increasing it, because God has blessed you. But before we do that, I want to talk through a couple of things that are critical to this and very important. First, that what you're about to do matters. It matters to God. It matters to God because people matter to God. And as we saw earlier in that video of our anniversary, the people that have been part of our campus over these 15 years, they matter to God. And they knew that other people matter to God. So what we're about to do matters because people matter to God, and therefore they should matter to us. And so what you're about to do matters. And some of us, this is our first commitment. This is our first opportunity to make a commitment. And if you look at that card on the back, you'll see a box at the top. It says, this is my first commitment to One. I want to encourage you, if that's you, that you would step out in faith today. And just a little detail about this. It says, over the next 12 months, I will make a commitment to God through my generosity in the amount of. So let's say today you decide, just for an example, to give $100 a month. Just as an example, $100 a month times 12 months. I'm not good at math, but I think I can do this. Times 12 months will be $1,200, and that's the number you would write in that top box if you are making a commitment for the very first time today. And know that what you're about to do matters. I want to encourage you that if that's you, this is your first commitment, I want to say way to go. I want to cheer you on from the sidelines as you are entering into the game, as you are declaring and putting a stake in the ground that you are going to trust God. It can be a scary thing. It can be. But I want to encourage you, if that's you, I want to say way to go in advance. I want to say way to go. There's other of us who, you know, maybe we made a commitment last year, as I mentioned, and this year has been challenging, and, you know, some things have happened and circumstances have come about that we didn't expect or anticipate that have caused a lot of challenge in our life. If you look at that next box down, if you made a commitment to one last year, a year ago, I want to encourage you that that's the box that you will check. It says, I've already made a commitment to one. And maybe for some of us who made a commitment to one, we're saying today that I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to trust God despite these circumstances, despite these challenges. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to finish strong today. There are still others of us who have, as I've mentioned, have seen an increase in faith and finances, and we are feeling called by God to step out and trust Him in a way that we've never trusted Him before. Maybe that's you, and so if that's you, you would write in that space in the box that you're going to increase your one commitment. You know, what we're about to do matters, and I want us to focus in on this one thing, that as we're holding this card in front of us this morning, all of us are really asking God, what do you want to do with this? What do you want to do with this? What do you want to do with my resources? What do you want to do with my faith? And we're asking God, what do you want to do? So as you consider that, as you consider trusting God, as you consider stepping out in faith, I want you to be encouraged by some testimonies from some other members of our family. Let's check it out.
For a little while now, I've gotten comfortable in my giving. And I think that with the One Initiative, it's going to challenge me to give more. The One Initiative is going to be something that's going to transform community as a whole. And prayer and, you know, really listening to what God wants me to do is going to be key.
Money can be a topic that you can get wrapped around the axle real quickly on. Me, mine, I got to hold on to it for myself. I got to make sure that I'm financially secure and stable and safe. But that's not what the Lord calls us to do, right? It's easier to live on what's left after what's been given than keeping it all for yourself and trying to manage that way.
I remember we used to give. We'd show up and I'd throw, you know, $5 or $10 in the giving back to God. And you know, now I'm doing it online. When we got married and I started doing all the bills and I showed her what we were giving, and her eyes kind of got big. I said, yeah, because everything we have is from Him, and I keep giving and He keeps giving back. So He's blessed us, and it's our prayer that we can continue to bless others as well.
This is the absolute most important thing, helping people and impacting people's lives. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing more important.
Our finances went 100% into God's control with the One Initiative. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, for us, one of those moments where we finally said, God's going to control everything. Money, you know, house, business, and we put it all on His shoulders, and it has just been, you know, literally just life-changing.
You know, we've been involved in so many aspects of community, mm-hmm. and been shaped by it. Our family has been shaped by it, and we just know that things like that don't just happen. You mm-hmm. know, you need people who are willing to give generously to that mission, who believe in that mission.
Yes, sometimes it can be a little scary when you say, you know what, I don't have a lot, how I'm gonna do that? But once you trust God, you're gonna see how He's gonna unfold all these blessings. And it's not even monetary blessings, it's your heart is gonna change. You know, your life is gonna change.
We have been blessed. Ever since we've started giving, we've just been blessed. Every time there's been a situation where we thought we were a little tight, God comes through.
He has a plan. My responsibility is to use what I have and give what I have to His mission. And then He will do the rest.
He's here with you. He's going to walk you through it, and you're going to be okay. And you are ultimately going to get closer to our Lord.
It was like the more we gave, the more we wanted to give. And it was just a cycle of positivity, and it's so freeing. It felt so great to finally see the rewards of that. And so just to be able to really, truly put my trust in God and to know that no matter what, it's all going to be good. It's very freeing.
Everything that we have is because of God. So I want to pour back into helping other people find their way back to God in any way, shape, form that I can.
Don't be afraid. I that's my advice, because I've been there. I've been there where I didn't have anything and I was afraid to give $1. Don't be afraid, because God knows what he's doing.
We are preparing to make our commitments, and as we prepare in just a moment, we're going to have a few minutes of just a time to think and pray and write. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of that, to, you know, if you're here with family or someone else, that you would have a conversation in these next few minutes, that you would maybe take an opportunity to pray about what God is asking you to do. I would encourage you to take time to do that. Stay in your seats, and I will come back in just a moment and give us a few more instructions. But I want to pray as we begin to think, pray, and write. God, thank you for just this opportunity to jump into mission with you. Thank you for inviting us to be part of this story of helping people find their way back to God. And God, we ask that you would give us the courage to have to step out in greater faith, to trust you even more, and to know that you are you're a God who takes care of us, you're a God who provides, and that you have never gone back on a promise. You've promised to bless us so that we can bless others. So help us to have faith in this moment. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Service times are Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us at 131 Montgomery Road in Montgomery, Illinois. For more information, you can visit us online at communitychristian.org/Montgomery.